Welcome, sports fans. Week two of the NFL season, week three of the college football season. First of all, Josh Nagel, thanks for covering for us last week. I'm pretty close to being recovered from Tennessee. I tell you what,
I doubt it.
I had a rough first few days. I actually got so sick in Tennessee, I didn't go out last Saturday night, and I'm very embarrassed to say
and
that.
And Friday night.
No, I went out Friday night.
No,
but
you didn't.
Yes, I did.
But I was
not
there.
Like, listen, John, just because I don't stay till 6 in the morning like you guys, I went out. With that being said, Josh, thanks to you, Mark Shannon, and Mark the Kid Vespi for covering last week, and much appreciated, you know. But like I said, John and about six of our buddies ended up in Tennessee watching the Pack play Vanderbilt.
I forgot about that part of it.
Yeah, what can we say about Vanderbilt, what we saw? You know,
we were
talking to one of the Pack parents last week, and they said that, you know, hopefully the one thing I can hold my head up high is that they said that the Pack was kind of sick. There was a flu going around, and so hopefully that contributed a little bit to the performance that, you know, that we witnessed in Vanderbilt last week, and hopefully we get a big bounce back game this week versus Oregon State. And as you can look around, the Oregon State fans are starting to pile in. They've been in and out of the casino all day. With that being said, Josh, thanks. Mark, thanks, and Mark, thanks. So, Josh.
Yeah, no problem, Ken. I know I texted you a little bit. We had some technical difficulties to begin with, and you know, a little nerve-wracking to start, but everything worked out. And also, from a week before, Jonathan Adamitz, who joined, he just happened to be hanging around, so we let him on again, talked a little about the UFC and all that, so we had a pretty good mix of co-host. And, yeah, ultimately, once we got up and running, everything was good. I was glad to hear your trip went well. And about the game, it was interesting. One thing we talked about on air is the wild fluctuation in that line, right? We had talked early in the week about it. It was pretty crazy. You guys were right. I mean, about 10.5-ish on an open. No time at all. It was down to 8.5, 8 some places. Seemed like heavy Wolfpack action. Before you know it, though, I'm wondering which way it's going to go. Your Saturday morning, it's back to 11. Like, whoa, Vanderbilt momentum came on strong. But I did worry about it from a matchup standpoint because we talked about how Vanderbilt – you know, the previous week played a kind of similar team in Middle Tennessee State, kind of spread, finesse type of thing. And they just have the athletes, even though they're a lower-tier SEC team, they have the athletes to match up with that.
Absolutely.
And so I wondered if that was going to be an issue. But the Pack got right back in it before halftime. I was like, you know, they're pretty fortunate because I think it was 17-10, but they could have, you know, Vanderbilt squandered two touchdowns, right, early on. The red zone fumble, fourth and goal, went for it, got stopped. It was like, it could have been a lot worse at halftime. But then it just got away from him in the second half. I just feel like, well, that goes to show you something. That's why I told you I'm not real big on, you know, playing your Portland States to begin the season because you learn nothing. You learned a little bit something about there, about your limitations, what you need to work on. And Ken, I'm curious about this game too because with Oregon State, I've looked at them a little bit. You know, the preseason, everything I read, it's like, oh, this is a disaster. You know, the coach quit last year. I thought they might be quite possibly the worst Power 5 program in the country. They might still be. But even with that, they've looked a little bit better than expected. So, you know, the former quarterback, Jonathan Smith, is the new coach. When they played Ohio State on opening day, I mean, I wondered if they were going to, you know, are they even going to get 10 points? Remember, they closed like a 42-point dog, and I wonder how awful they're going to look. Well, they actually got 31 points and showed some, you know, a little bit of speed on offense. Of course, the issue was they gave up like 80 to Ohio State, right? 77.
And that's why they didn't 77-31 final, yeah.
So that's what, you know, their biggest issue is. But they did show that, you know, they had a little bit of innovation on offense. And still, even put 31 up on Ohio State. Now a lot of teams, I mean, Rutgers got 3 last week. Mm-hmm. So it shows they had a little bit of competence there. They beat an FCS team last week. It might be their only, you know, win of the year. So they're coming in, so they're not as bad as expected, but they're still pretty bad. But I just think when you talk about matchups again, that's not a good, you know, Oregon State doesn't match up well with Nevada is what I'm getting at, meaning they clearly can't stop, you know, I mean, a high-paced offense. I just think it's going to be a shootout. And I think the Beavers are getting way too much respect in the spread. When you saw openers of 4.5, and the last I saw it was a flat 3.
That's what I was going to I was going to give that to John right now. It actually opened up at 5.5. I was looking at a bunch of the opening lines today, and it actually opened up at 5.5. And it's down to 3.5 currently. And the total right now, it opened at 67.5, and it's down to 68. You know, so John, I was going to get your opinion on that too. You know, and the one thing that did happen, guys, you guys have to remember in the Ohio State game, Oregon State lost their running back.
Yeah,
you know, in that game, he ran for 168 yards and 2 touchdowns.
That was the kid who had like an 80-yard touchdown run. Yeah,
his last name was Pierce. I can't say his first name, obviously. Artavis Pierce.
With that being said,
John, what do you think about the fluctuation in this game? I mean, Josh has already kind of expressed his opinions that he thinks that Oregon State's getting too much credit.
It's hard to see that they're getting too much credit after what we saw last week from the Wolfpack.
Yes.
You know, it is a Pac-12 opponent. I realize it's the bottom of the Pac-12, but I don't have a ton of love for the Wolfpack right now as far as them putting a quality product on the field. I know Oregon State struggles to stop the run, but they can run the ball themselves, and we can't stop the run as well. I don't know. This is going to be a game that I am not going to bet, that I'm going to sit back, and this is where I think we learn who Nevada is.
I'm going to take exactly what I'm going to bet, John.
Because it's the two extremes, I think, with Portland State and then
Vanderbilt,
the SEC school. I think there's two extremes there. This is somewhere in the middle, probably the lower middle. I think we find out who the Wolfpack is, and I'm just going to sit back and watch it.
I'm going to lob this up to you guys, okay?
Yeah.
You guys had already said that they opened up with Ohio State, 77-31 final. They scored 31 against Ohio State.
Yeah.
How much are they going to score against Nevada? And let's take into account that Nevada is favored in this game.
Yeah, I think minimum 38.
Then how do you bet it under?
I don't.
Then just bet it over.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd made the comment that you're not going to bet it, and I think before the first
the
segment.
Side. I will not bet a side.
Okay, but let's bet the total.
I'll bet it over.
All right.
I have no problem with that.
Absolutely.
I can't have a lean on the side at all. I don't trust the Wolfpack.
I'm with you, John. I mean, I really – and I, as much as I hate to say this, I think Oregon State's live in this game, Josh. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's what sports wagering is, Josh. It's opinion-based. You know, from all my research, I mean, I'm kind of with John on this. You know, everybody knows I got a huge bet on Nevada over 5.5 wins. And this is almost – here we are in week three, and I figured we'd probably be 1-1. I kind of had maybe a 35-40% expectation of them going down and beating Vanderbilt. I really did. I mean,
I know you did.
I really did. You know, and
I tried to talk about it.
This really could be the make or break game of the year, because I don't think that if we can't beat Oregon State at home tomorrow, we might not win a home football game.
Right. Yeah, Ken, and that's a good point. I put it this way too. I believe Oregon State
looks about
this. They may think Nevada is about their only chance is a Division I victory. I mean, seriously, Oregon State's not going to be favored in any Pac-12 game. We know that. I haven't seen their full schedule.
Home or road.
Right. So, I mean, it's unlikely, you know, in terms of them getting a win over an FBS opponent. They're probably seeing, you know, this is, you know, in their sights, you know, Nevada's their chance. But
we're at San Jose now. Think about it. Sorry.
But, Ken, again, but you look at the matchups, it's just like, you know, I think you didn't want to throw a parade after you score 72 in an FCS team. I don't think you want to worry too much about – to me, it was frustrating because they did some things against Vanderbilt, actually moved the ball and stuff. It's just clear that even against –
I was impressed by the defense. You know,
right.
I really was.
We talked about this, Josh. Even though they gave up the 41 points to Vanderbilt, I was impressed. John, we were literally five rows right behind the Nevada bench. You know, we bought random tickets, we walked right over there, and I probably spent a quarter and a half, John, right in the first row,
right
behind the bench, where it was so hot. You know, they had the canopies come over the players. So when they come off the field, they sit underneath the canopies. I was right behind the canopy, and I could hear everything that was being said. And I can tell you this: that defense did not give up. That defense came in fired up, but you could also see how deflated they were. Where they make a stop, and then we fumble a punt. They make a stop, and then we get a personal. It's like fourth and 15, and we get a personal foul because they jump over a blocking wedge.
Right.
You know, and these guys finally the defensive lineman said, you know, he's yelling at the offense saying, listen, we can only do so much, guys. You got to let us rest. Keep us off the field.
And that's from a summer of hearing that the defense is nothing and the offense is going to be great, and then it goes out. And they had, like you mentioned, the first half, that bend but don't break mentality where, they gave up some drives deep into the territory, but they made the plays when they had to make
them.
And for the defense, which is so maligned, especially at Nevada forever, to show up like that there and not be rewarded, that, you know, that's a tough pill to swallow. I understand why they'd be upset, because I thought they played pretty well.
Right. Even in a weird way, John, without talking through the game, we were on the exact same page. I really thought that our defense played decent at Vanderbilt, and I know that we gave up 41 points, but I really thought we played well. What I didn't think played well, Josh, I didn't think our offense played well. I mean, I'm looking at how we beat up on Portland State so bad, running flea flickers and reverses. Where was all this stuff at Vanderbilt? We ran one play where I thought
maybe – let it all hang out from play one, I think.
Let's do it. I mean, and just, you know, we had 30, 35 yards rushing with Woodley, you know. I mean, and I'm looking at these stats. Mannix, he's 6 receptions, 86 yards. Folsom, 6 receptions, 56 yards. You know, and I just look at this and I'm going, you know, Ganji.
Did you hear what Norvell said about Folsom?
What?
Just that he was the only guy on the field
Oh.
that was competing every play.
I agree. He was the other guy. He And I felt terrible for the kid because he's pumping up the defense.
Yeah.
I mean, he's pumping up the defense saying, guys, you know, you're right. We're sorry. We're going to get it going. You know, hang in there.
Yeah.
Hang in there. Hang in there. I mean, and this is – you know what he did the next play, Josh? He fumbled the punt.
Yeah.
And he came off the field, and I could just see how demoralized he was. Because, and John, you're right. That guy, vocally
– you can forgive physical errors.
Yes, but he – but you could tell – we can, but he didn't.
Yeah.
He's not going to forgive himself for talking
the
talk.
He's a senior leader from the Pac-12. He's been there.
Yes.
He had a horrible injury last year coming back. He's going to let it all hang out every play.
Yes. And I'm glad that
– and he had the unfortunate with his situation with his friend. From Washington State that we all know about. So it's
I'm glad that was said because I witnessed that firsthand at the game.
Yeah.
So with that being said, you know, that's my takeoff from the Vanderbilt game. And I know that when we first walked into the stadium, John, you know, Wads and I went to the – first of all, they didn't have alcohol, so we had to get alcohol to bring into the stadium. But Vanderbilt walked right in front of us. I mean, they had their little parade, you know, their little entrance parade, and literally they walked – I could touch them. That's how close that we were in the front row right there. They're huge. And Wads and I looked at each other and just go, my goodness, this team is big.
Right. Okay, that's one thing you say. I said even a lower-tier SEC team, you realize their coach, Derek Mason, is the former defensive coordinator at Stanford. He's done some nice things at Vandy and probably saved his job in terms of, you know, they've been to a couple bowl games. There are times where it looked like they're really on the rise. It's really hard for Vandy to win six games every year because they have to find a way to beat your Tennessee, your Ole Miss. They've got to up. They're
and
always going to be an underdog. You know, they're playing Notre Dame tomorrow. They're only 13-point dogs. Shows you that's some respect.
Yeah.
Thought they'd be more. So, Ken, like I said, in the ultimate scheme of things, so, you know, there's a pecking order, you know, food chain and, you know, the FBS ranks is just one of those things. Vandy is going to have, you know, that size and depth advantage on us. When you look at Oregon State, like I said, I still think, you know, something of a smokescreen. I mean, it was the guy's first game against Ohio State. You know how prepared they didn't want to really get embarrassed, and they still sort of were, right, when you give up almost 80 points. But when it comes right down to it, that's why I just think it's a somewhat bad matchup for
it's
them. Because
the
I think Nevada is going to be better, as they usually are, at home. You know, you look at this, you know, what rates to be a shootout. And put it this way, we're always guessing at lines or whatnot, 5.5. You know, I saw it come out. And actually thought it was a little short then. I thought Nevada was going to be a 7-point favorite in the game. So when the opening line was announced, I thought, oh, okay, a little shorter than I anticipated. It gets down to 3. And you guys know, if nothing else, at least from a betting standpoint, I'm far from a homer. I want to go for the, you know,
sure,
whatever your value side presents itself, even if I, you know, take the opposite team. Because this is one of the few times, especially, you know, in the football realm, where I feel like, yeah, Nevada is a little everyone, that game's on national TV. Everyone saw it.
But, yeah,
I mean, maybe Nevada is no good. And, you know, give the Pac-12 team a little more reverence. But, I will play them at -3 for sure.
You know what? I have a little sneaking suspicion that the Wolfpack's going to play really well right now.
The thing that I fear, John, and I honestly mean this, is that I didn't like the fact that we fell behind 9-0 against Portland State. And we were able to dig ourselves out of that hole. But if Oregon State gets the ball, scores, and we go 3-and-out, 4-and-out, come up empty, and somehow they break another, we're down 14-0. That terrifies me.
But this and what turned the game around? A big play turnover by the defense, which happened in Vanderbilt as well. If that defense can be opportunistic like that and get them off the field with a big turnover here and there, this offense is going to sort itself out. I promise you. It happened last year, and they're even better this year. It's going to be the case. So if the defense can play opportunistic, bend but don't break, yeah, you're going to give up your points. But if they can play like that, the Pack's going to be fine. And if that starts tomorrow,
let's make it start tomorrow.
They can beat the Beavers with no problem. I just don't trust them.
But we'll be there. Skybox 317.
We will be there. Come see us.
Yeah, so Skybox 317, if you guys are up and around that area. So,
Brad.
You know, no, I said we. I didn't say it was mine.
I didn't say it was for both of us.
My Skybox, even though it is.
It's
I just said we.
I know. Hey.
Hey, Toledo. No look-ahead game
Holy
there. You know, we have Toledo the following week, so, you know, a revenge game there, but a road game.
Yeah, so we go 2-2. That's fine.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I thought we would be. That's what I'm saying.
This is a crucial game. Josh nailed it. This is a crucial game.
Absolutely.
Is that you or him that said that?
It was me.
Josh, Ken nailed it.
All right.
Josh, predictions.
Listen, I already gave you one. I said I'm playing, you know, I'm pretty confident Nevada's undervalued in this game. I think they're going to come out. I think they'll, it will be, as you guys mentioned, the total. I think it will be a high-scoring game. But in terms of, you know, the points, the yardage production, I think this is going to be a big one where, you know, the passing game puts up all kinds of numbers. And, yeah, Oregon State might have some share of success of their own, but in this environment, and I think overall Nevada's got better personnel than Oregon State. You know, I think they've got a more effective scheme. They should be further ahead, right? Jay Norvell was rebuilding last year. Said Oregon State's undergoing a complete overhaul, so it's going to be a minor victory if they're even competitive, because I still think, you know, so, talent and everything-wise, they're way down.
John, is our get-well game against the Pac-12 school?
I mean, jeez, that's something. It still scares me. Just the fact that they can get the athletes that they can. And the running back that has replaced, I forget his name, Jefferson, running pretty well right now. So,
Jermar Jefferson. Jermar Jefferson,
so,
yeah.
38-34 pack.
38-34.
What does that get you?
What is it? 38.
72.
34, 72. That's over by, I don't know, 4, 5 points, 6 points. I'll take it. I'm going to have the over, guys. I think that we're gonna score. I really do. I mean, we need to get a good taste in our mouth, Josh. We really do. And I think we're gonna get an effort on both sides of the ball. I think my money's gonna go in on the over, though. I really do. That's, you know, as a matter of fact, I might go bet it right now because the Oregon State fans are coming into town, and I don't want to miss this line. So, all right, let's head off to our first commercial break. We'll come back. We'll continue talking sports on ESPN 94.5 FM.
I laid three.
I got 2.5.
Well, I wanted to hedge it. I had Bengals.
Huh? Oh, we're back. Sorry. Our board guy did not tell us that we're live, so we apologize. We were talking about the
JJ.
We're talking about getting...
You didn't tell any of us.
Yeah. Listen, if we're socially talking and we're back on there, you might want to tap me on the shoulder or something, big guy. Anyway, Josh and I were talking about the halftime number last night in the Bengals Ravens game, and I got 2.5, and you must have slept a little bit and got 3, but I got
no, I got it immediately, so the action must have come in the other way, because I logged on, believe me, I had Bengals, you know, +1 and +7 on a teaser, so obviously I'm in great shape. I'm hoping to, you know, sweep the board. I'm like, what's the deal in the second half? And I logged on immediately. It was Ravens -3. I'm like, well, I figured that. I said, I can live with that, 11 or closer.
Yeah.
And they ended the first half with a pretty good, you know, rally, a couple touchdowns. I'm like, yeah, watch. They'll make this a one-score game. So I did it. That was pretty bummed out because they did get within a possession. But
and
then
they went
allowed,
for two.
Right.
Look, see, I just fired it up right here.
I believed you. You must have got it later than me, because the action just must have come in that way.
Well,
everyone was taking.
You made me think about
the Bengals.
I was like, wait a second.
Yeah, apparently I should have waited, because then I could have swept the board. So I was bummed that I pushed the second half. But everything else came in. I just knew the whole world was on the Ravens, and I just felt like, you know what, this is out of principle. It's time to fade that strong public side on the isolated Thursday night game, and I was pretty happy.
It's hard to win on the road. In any division, but in that division, it's not easy.
And people don't realize, too, as down as the Bengals have been or whatever, over the years in the Flacco era and all that, they've actually had Baltimore's number at home.
Absolutely.
In Cincinnati, they win all the time.
Yep.
So
before we move on, you know, we have a listener here that actually came in from Oregon, who listens from Oregon.
I won't hold that against him.
His name is Tim. He's in town to see Oregon State play. Went to school at Portland State, which on the commercial break, I was talking to him. I said, you got to be kidding me. So, and here he is correcting us on some of these names for Oregon State. And I was, man, this guy knows, he's dialed in. So anyways, he's probably the first time on the radio. So I'm just going to ask him a couple questions. So Tim, first of all, welcome to Reno. You got to get up here and talk in the microphone. Welcome to Reno.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. A little bit closer.
Thanks for having me.
There
absolutely. Well, thanks for coming to Reno and supporting the Nevada Wolfpack.
That should be a close game.
So real quick, I know that you might be a little bit nervous, but you said during the break that you think that both teams, there's going to be no defense being played by either team.
I think you had a choice to take the over.
Over, yeah. That's where
I think it's going to be a high-scoring game.
Agreed.
Oregon State can't play defense worth a lick.
Really?
And Reno's not much better, I think.
Well, right? I would disagree with.
So, we already echoed that too. You know, Josh seems to think that maybe this is a good get-well game for Nevada going against at home, coming home, you know, against the Oregon State defense. I guess if you play Vanderbilt the week before, an SEC team, and come back and play a small Oregon State team that week, it's kind of like playing the JV, right?
That's true.
So, all right. So, who's going to win tomorrow? Get ready to shut his mic off if he says the wrong thing, buddy.
Yeah. I would probably take Nevada since you're playing at home.
Okay, I like that.
Fair enough.
So Nevada and over. Wolfpack and over.
I made the right call, right?
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did. So we're going to let you stick around and listen. All right. With that being said, thanks for coming down. Much appreciated. Make sure you like us on Facebook, too, at Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping. And you can follow Josh at Sportsline.
Correct. Thank you. And at Twitter, JoshNagel1.
JoshNagel1. And I have a Twitter account too, Ken Barter, but I'm more of a retweeter.
Leave me alone.
I don't really throw a lot of opinion out there because I'm terrified that I might get fired from my job.
Same here, actually.
About my views.
You wonder about my Twitter inactivity. You know how many careers have been ruined by the wrong thing said? Like, yeah. Seriously, that's why it's like, you know what, a few times I've ventured out there and then you know, the trolls start coming in. Like, it's better to stay away from the fray a little bit.
John,
especially, get yourself in trouble.
Especially when you're in Nashville, Tennessee at 4 in the morning. And
yeah. Yeah. I made a couple unfortunate Facebook posts. That's for sure.
All right.
But that's all right. Hey, Nashville.
Let's stay a little bit on the theme here, Josh. You got your college football. How many articles did you do on college football this week?
More than I can recall at the moment, but plenty. Pretty much every big high profile game.
I want to throw some questions out to you real quick. You know, we talked about the Nevada game. Let's talk a little bit real quick. Your thoughts on Ohio State TCU. As everybody knows, I have a future bet on TCU at 125-1. I kind of thought it might come down to this game right now. With Urban Meyer's suspension, you know, the last game before he gets to come back to Ohio State. Obviously, Ohio State's 2-0 right now. Played pretty cupcake schedule the first two games, in my opinion. But double digit home dog with TCU, Josh.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, it's, you know, home dog in the sense that it's closer to TCU because that game's. You know, whatever, officially neutral site, but it's in Dallas, right? So Arlington Stadium.
Well, that's what I'm
saying. Right, so close enough. TCU home crowd. But, this one kind of throws me off, though, a little bit. Kind of fluctuated all week, in my opinion, because it's one of those things where this is where the one-time Urban Meyer on the sidelines would matter for Ohio State, right? Because they're facing a real team with a real good coach, significant resistance. This isn't going to be easy, as they've rolled over Rutgers and Oregon State. This is a game where strategic adjustments and all that matter. TCU is going to have that on their side. They do have, the home field advantage and a good team. The thing that worries me, Ken, though, is the last few years, pretty much ever since that TCU era of a few years ago with the Trevon Boykins, Josh Doxson, when they had loads of NFL talent on the offensive end, they've kind of struggled offensively. You know, they took a step back at quarterback, and even though the new kid, Sean Robinson, I think is pretty good, you know, they need that to keep pace in the Big 12. It's why, you look at last year, the biggest downfall TCU had was blown out twice by Oklahoma. They couldn't stay with the highest scoring team out there. They have that same kind of firepower, I think, deficit against Ohio State. And that's what scares me a little bit. So this one throws me off. I either think, I think they hang in there for a while. TCU's always sound on the defensive end. But can they score enough to keep up? You know, I'm not sure, but to me, this is such a polarizing game where I feel like it's either TCU outright or Ohio State by 28, but not in between. Like, it's not going to be, like, right on the number. It's going to be, you know what I mean? And it's hard because I really want to get with TCU, but without getting, like, you know, being able to get, say, 14.5, the fact that it's under two touchdowns gives me some hesitation.
John?
Yeah, I told Kenny, I even told you earlier, our resident Ohio State fan, Matt Williams, big fan of the show, a little bit of a scumbag, but that's all right. He never solicits Ohio State stuff unless he really means it. And he said, unsolicited, Ohio State wins by 24, minimum 24. He loves this matchup for him. I was surprised to hear that because I was kind of on the lean to TCU. Yeah. And he never steps out of the box to make a proclamation like that. So I'm going to listen to him, and I'm going to lay that 13.
All right, I'm going to probably pass on the game because everybody knows that this is, you know, I've got a little chunk of money.
This is huge for you.
It's if they lose, they're done. I mean, a one-loss Big 12 team can't get in there.
It's huge on the other end, not even just the loss. If they get that win, that's a top-7 team probably.
Oh, I know. I know. I agree.
This is huge for you.
Another game, Josh, real quick, I want to talk to you about
these Braves.
Fresno State has moved from plus one to like -2.5. I mean, Fresno State playing UCLA this week. Conference game. I'm throwing it out there since it's a Mountain West.
State's tough to pay again. You know, last week they were sort of the underdog darling on the board where it's like they were opened up 3-point underdogs to Minnesota, closes like a 2-point favorite. Everyone was on Fresno State. That was a close game. I don't know if you saw Minnesota used a goal line stand to end up, you know, interception. Fresno State had it. They ran a little halfback option. The guy was wide open. The Minnesota guy made a leaping interception like the last play of the game, and the Gophers won 21-14. This is just tough. It's hard to tell out of UCLA, right, because they started – I mean, Chip Kelly's kind of starting over with them. They had a bad home start against Cincinnati, but then last week, despite being outgunned by Oklahoma significantly, they did some okay things. I mean, they had like four long touchdown scoring drives, ended up being able to cover that 30.
That's a product of Oklahoma defense and not UCLA offense, just so you know that.
Well, the freshman quarterback, though, is pressed into action. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, the true freshman who they're hailing as Chip Kelly's, new prodigy. He's going to grow, and he looked better last week. It's just a tough game. You know, it's probably a pass because I can't really get a handle on Fresno State so far, though, except from what I've seen, they're not quite as talented as they were last year. Yeah.
Hey, John, what about the biggest move on the board, Alabama versus Mississippi? Alabama opened up at minus 18. It's up to 21.5.
The way that that team has played, now that Tua is the court, is the guy, I think they're just going to roll people. I think that it's just going to be ugly from here on out. There's going to be no messing around right now. Most talented team in the nation by far. Both sides of the line, both sides of the ball. I'll lay that. I understand that move. And I know it's at the Grove, but that's – I'm with it.
Josh?
Yeah, now that it's beyond 21.5, and it's tough. I wouldn't play Alabama, but, you know, Ole Miss is really good, at least on the offensive end. I mean, they've got some NFL-caliber receivers. The quarterback, Jordan Tamu's coming along really well. And they have a long history, at least in the Hugh Freeze era, right? They were the ones that always either upset Alabama or gave them a run to the
Very
end.
Very true.
But the only issue there is, like you mentioned, Alabama's kind of switched their mentality in terms of they're always solid on the defense. The last couple of years, offense is – you'll be a little unsteady. Now with Tua in there, they're just unstoppable. It seems like they're scoring on every drive.
What's Alabama missed in this whole run is a dynamic quarterback.
Right, right. And so that's the question I have is could could the Rebels even get enough stops to stay within there? I think here's the thing, though. Alabama's defense, for what it's worth, has been more vulnerable than usual. Like
sure.
Even Louisville, who just turned it over. I mean, they shot themselves in the foot all game long, but they moved the ball pretty well. It looks like you can get more on them than you could have years past in terms of extensive – drives down the field and things like that. So Ole Miss, I think, will be able to move the ball on them. Can they get any stops? So this would be, it could easily be like, say, 52-21 type
that's,
of thing.
That's
I just
what
wonder,
I had in my mind.
Right. But if
I had 55-19 in my
Right, but I just couldn't – I still couldn't lay that many points. And so if I was going to jump in, I'd probably jump in on Ole Miss and hope they could hold on.
What is it on the card, Ken?
21.5.
Oh, it is? Okay. So
yeah, you're hoping to capture 21.
Capture that, exactly. So – yeah, but either way, until proven otherwise, I'm going to ride that. I'm going to ride the tide.
The Bama train, ride the
tide. I am at this point. And the point that you made about Mississippi always giving them fits, I think that plays into the Tide's hands, that Saban is not going to let that happen again. This time.
Got their attention.
Yeah, we see you. Okay, here we go.
Time to beat down your shit, brother.
Now we don't have to run student body left, student body right all the time. We can beat you any number of
ways. They took it out on him, right? Last year wasn't like 66-3 last year for Saban.
Saying.
Was like enough's
so,
enough.
So Mississippi has Saban's full attention, and you don't want that.
Josh, what other articles did you write about? Give me some of the things you want to talk about right now before we get into the NFL.
Well, sure. Like some of the games, for instance, I gave out on Sportsline over the past few days and stuff I looked into throughout the week. One of the first ones I looked at that I like quite a bit, Texas against USC. From what I saw, Texas is -3. USC's quarterback had a bad hand injury against Stanford. I guess it was all swollen and bloated, and that's why he didn't play well the rest of the game. They say he's going to be all right. I feel like everyone's on the Trojans. Texas is a slight favorite. People are down on him after that Maryland defeat, which did look bad, and then they sort of struggled with a Tulsa team last week that isn't very good and just won by 7. So for whatever reason, though, and I don't know if Arnie States, he's a big Texas guy, often listens to us, but I feel like the Longhorns break out here. I just do. I think they're better than they've looked so far. Until proven otherwise, I like Sam Ellinger a lot, even though he hasn't played well. There were times last year that I was a freshman. Like, man, that kid, he's got some real poise. Yeah, he's a big playmaker.
Yeah.
Hasn't been great so far. And the bottom line is, with this line being what it is, people are like, oh, why is Texas favorite? I think it shows. Like, last week, USC couldn't even get a first down against Stanford. It's 17-3. USC is really bad. They're not good at all. Darnold's gone. Ronald Jones, they lost everybody on both sides. And who knows if Clay Helton, just on pure talent, they kind of rode it to 10 wins or whatever last year. And this matchup wise, I like Texas's talent better. They kind of need that win to renew some confidence and all that. I think they roll USC.
Josh likes Texas, all right.
That's bold right there. That is. I'm a little leery of that, but I can see him breaking out. There's just so much talent on that side of the ball, and you don't trust USC yet, obviously. I'll probably hold off on that bet, but it's on that game to bet. But I'm interested to see how Texas responds.
It's still early in the year, so you're kind of still getting a gauge of what teams really are. Nevada, first game, Nevada second game.
Yeah.
Texas first game against Maryland, which I Maryland gives that team fits for some
they really
reason.
Do.
It's just a matchup issue.
Yeah. It really is.
They just can't stop it. And you know what's funny? Because it's not as if Texas doesn't see that spread option in the Big 12. It's like they see that from Oklahoma State. It's a similar thing. Like, why can't you stop it? You know, they held Oklahoma State to 13 last year, and you can't stop Maryland. But it's just the different formations, different sets. It's just something that they come out of week one, you're not ready for, and they do have a lot of creative routes and things like that. And, yeah, for some reason, that's just a series they're probably going to not want to, renew.
What other game you have queued up, Josh?
Well, the one that we sort of mentioned before, to the playoff, the Pac's opponent last week, Vandy, now is coming to Notre Dame. I think they're getting some respect based on how they've looked so far. But under, this era of Derek Mason, this is what Vandy's done. They've always done good in non-conference games. Last year, they beat up, K-State and a couple of good teams. Then they get into the meat of their schedule. It's like, when they kind of step into their own weight class, that's when, they're kind of second tier. Notre Dame, looked good week one in Michigan. They actually struggled last week with Ball State. Pretty predictable letdown spot. And Ball State's a little bit on the uptick this year. They're not so bad. But Notre Dame kind of, squeaked out a win there. And I think just this is one where I believe the Irish roll, where it's like Vandy probably hangs out for a while. I mean, they do have some – they're strong on the defensive end. As you guys saw, the quarterback, Shermer, he's like a four-year starter. He's solid. He threw for, 260.
He can throw it around the yard,
Yeah,
too.
They've got some more offensive weapons than they usually have. But over the course of four quarters, Ken, I just don't see them sticking with the Irish. I'd be stunned if they cover that. So I see that Irish pulling away three touchdowns or more.
I do, too. I think the Irish are on a different level right now. I think that they're just the quality of the athletes that they have right now, this is their year to make – a big run, and Vanderbilt's not going to stop them at all. I like Notre Dame here. We were hoping for a little look ahead, but that didn't happen.
Adamant said it's bad weather being forecasted for the Texas-USC game, so it could cause havoc with game plans. So maybe look to for a physical contest. Maybe look to bet that total under a little bit before it gets affected too much. Josh, what else you got? You got another one you want to queue up for a commercial break?
Well, can Oklahoma, they're at Iowa State, and this is an interesting game because, they're minus 18. That spread's been growing. We all know what happened last year. It looked like Oklahoma. I mean, Iowa State won. A 31-point underdog at Oklahoma, and they won the game outright.
Remember that, Ken?
They always seem to give them fits, though, with that. And they lost their rivalry game last week to the Hawkeyes. But they lost their quarterback, and that's what gives me some hesitation here because their quarterback is a senior. He's a good player. The last couple of years under Matt Campbell, this is one of those where – Iowa State's just really hard to get rid of. They keep everything in front of them. Yeah. They don't allow a bunch of – they make you do 12-play drives, and then they sort of milk the clock on their own drives. Before you know it, you're only getting, six or seven possessions for the whole game. I'm real tempted to jump in on the dog a little bit, but with them losing – I looked into the backup quarterback played last year as well because the starter got injured a couple times. So the backup's experience, he's had a couple pretty decent games. I'm really tempted to jump in on the underdog, but we'll see because there's going to be, I think, so much steam on Oklahoma, Ken. Like right now, I think it's 19-ish off the board. If I could get 21, I think it's jumping in on Iowa State.
There's a huge trend in this game. The last nine conference opponents the Sooners have lost to at home, they've avenged the loss the next time they played, and they're 8-0 against the spread. So with that being said, so that's just, if you're looking for trend angle plays, Oklahoma, a lot,
Kyler Murray's fun
playing,
to watch.
Oh, he's playing real well right now. And they're already saying things like, are they better this year than last year? I don't know. I mean, it's only been a couple of games. And,
no way.
They did have Baker Mayfield, the number one pick.
Yeah, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah. So with that being
said. We're so quick to anoint things.
Yeah, anoint things. But, Kyler Murray hasn't been tested yet either. I mean, he's pretty much had his way. So with that being said, Josh, I'm kind of going to be an Oklahoma fan. It's an early game, too, I believe. It's a 9 a.m. game. Is that right, Josh?
Correct.
Yeah, it's a 9 a.m. game, and it's 17.5 on the card. I don't have any interest in laying the 17.5 in this game. Being a Sooner fan, it'll probably be one of those games where I just watch and hope that we like Switzer used to say, we just lay half a 100 on them.
Right.
And say, keep up, guys. So. All right, with that being said, let's head off to our next commercial break. We come back, we'll jump into the NFL slate. This is the William Hill Sports Show. Hopefully we come back on time on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Do you want a beer?
Oh, no. Do I want a beer? No, I want a water. That's okay. Welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B., John the Hawk Stevens, Josh Nagel from Sportsline, and Tim from Oregon. Tim from Oregon. So, all right. Would you guys take away? Let's just jump right into the NFL slate right now. First game that Nick has on the card, Redskins at home versus the Colts. 46.5 is the total. Redskins opened at 6 down to – Nick's using 5.5 on the card. I guess I saw what I needed – thank you. I guess I saw what I needed to see – with the Colts last week. You know, Andrew threw the ball 50 times. Looks like he's got some velocity. You know, as long as he doesn't have some fatigue in his arm from being off for so long, you know, the Colts should be able to move the ball. I like this game over a little bit.
I think
with the defense that the Colts play, and I don't see them stopping the Redskins. I think Adrian Peterson had a pretty good showing last week. Redskins jumped out to a quick lead, and they gave Adrian the ball. 96 yards rushing, Josh.
Yeah, he looked pretty good. And one thing is, I think the Redskins aren't going to be quite as bad as other projections suggest. We all talk about the NFC East, right? The Giants are going to be so much better with the healthy receivers and drafting Barkley. All the talk about the Eagles and Cowboys, Redskins kind of lost in the shuffle. They're always around 8-8, 9-7. I thought they were decent. I actually liked them last week quite a bit against the Cardinals. I couldn't believe when Arizona ended up closing like 3-point favorite.
Yeah.
That makes no sense. So I had them, and they won pretty big. And the Colts actually they kind of gave that game away against the Bengals. I mean, Luck had over 300 yards, just a couple key turnovers. I mean, they were driving for the potential game-winning score, right, and the tight end fumbles, and it gets returned. So I think they'll be all right. So, we always talk about kind of the typical week one overreaction, and I think you see it here. Although Washington played well, and the Indianapolis ended up losing, I think it's too many points. I'd jump in on the Colts plus six.
I like the Colts as well here, but Kenny nailed it right there, I think. I think this thing's flying over. I really do. Every trend that I look to, most of them were predicated on Andrew Luck being healthy. So when he's healthy on the road, Colts go over. Redskins, 24 of the last 37 games at home have gone over. That is just screaming over to me. So love the over. Lean to the Colts.
Just make sure Redskins are at home, so make sure that there's no weather right there.
Yeah.
So handicappers, make sure you look at that.
That's a good point.
This next game, Falcons at home versus the Panthers. Falcons laying 5.
I love this game.
Yeah, so do I. 5 and 44.5. I came up. This is a game. You know, Atlanta. I know Carolina beat Dallas last week, you know, but Dallas just did, so obviously something was wrong with that.
That line, man, that went deteriorated in a hurry.
Carolina, the last 22 times they've played in Atlanta, they're 5-15-2 against the spread. They do not cover in Atlanta. And, man, I like the Falcons in this game, guys. John, I don't know where you're headed in this game, but I can tell you guys right now, one of my – and I know that the running back for Coleman's going to get the start,
yeah,
because Freeman's out for Atlanta. But man, so many weapons. You know, you have Atlanta opening up with Philadelphia and representing very well, losing a hard fought battle. But this is a come home. Falcons do not want to go 0-2. I think, and you know, a wounded dog back against the wall in week two. I still think Atlanta is one of the most talented teams in the NFC, and I'm going to be pushing my money on Atlanta. I can tell you right now.
Yeah, you know what? It's a tough game, Ken, because you mentioned this rivalry has been one-sided on both ends of the home team, because I know Carolina covers all the time at home, too, when they play Atlanta. So it's weird. The home team just always seems to have the edge, you know, spread-wise. But you're probably aware Atlanta also lost a couple defensive starters. I want to say the one linebacker, is it Deion Jones, I think his name is, and they also lost a safety for the year.
Yeah, for the year.
Yeah, right. So that's a big deal to lose that many contributors in the first game. And so despite all those trends, you know, Ken just went through, I'm also not know what to make of Atlanta. You know, they're still kind of stuck in the mud offensively against Philadelphia. Of course, they usually do play better at home. But I'm not real eager to jump in and lay a touchdown on this one.
I'm not eager as well. This will probably be on a 6-point teaser that I play. I like to play those with home favorites in this scenario. And Ken, you said it. Both the teams, when they're at home, tend to roll. But I don't know. Something about the Panthers, man, is catching my eye. I don't want to lay that. I would take it if I was just going to the straight point spread. But I'd like the Falcons just on a teaser, just to win the game. I don't trust them to. After what you saw against, I know it's the Eagles, but they just look lethargic on offense.
Right.
And with no Freeman, you know, that can't help.
Minnesota traveling to Green Bay, TBD right now, obviously because of the status of Aaron Rodgers.
He's
right
playing.
Now. Yeah, so no side or total right now, and this is going to be pretty simple for me. If Rodgers plays, I probably don't bet the game. If Rodgers does not play, I lay up to 9.
And that's probably what you'd have to do, right? Because
yeah,
this spread's going to jump by 7. That's what he's worth, probably the highest point spread guy along with Brady in the league.
I think he's physically the best quarterback I've ever seen.
Yeah, and what's funny is, Ken, so we're seeing the opening number here, which was -2 and -46, and that suggested before questions about Rodgers. That assumes he's playing, that -2. It is off the board everywhere. But so even with Rodgers assumed to be in there, the Vikings are still favored. That tells you a little something,
yeah,
especially given that the Packers were supposed to you know, have kind of a resurgence this year. A lot of people like him in that division. Shows you a lot of respect when a team can go into Lambeau and still be favored. But same thing. I mean, if Rodgers does play, who knows? Could there's a few series and then he's, you know, ineffective and gets yanked out of there, because you could end up with a bad number. That's, if they yank him after a couple series, he's not looking good.
Great point, Josh.
That's then you're in bad shape.
That's the reason I say that if Rodgers plays, I don't have any part of the game, because that's the uncertainty of
right.
this. And this Minnesota defense, they're legit. I mean, they're going to come after him. You know, they got Devin Cook back. You know, they got a new quarterback. They got the Diggs and Thielen. So with all that being said, there's just a lot of offensive weapons for Minnesota. I have no interest in this game. But if Rodgers does not play, you know, you kind of have a Green Bay team that fell behind last week. They were able to come back, get the win. Bad spot for Green Bay.
Oh, honestly, we're watching it on the plane from Nashville to San Diego, and saw Rodgers get hurt, and the Bears go way ahead. And by the time we got to San Diego, we see Aaron Rodgers and his drugged up, goofy.
I couldn't believe it. I gave up on it. I never do that. But Sunday night, like, man, I gotta go to the grocery store. I haven't done anything all weekend.
Yeah.
And I said, halftime, good. This is a blowout. Forget it. So I went out, you know, did my stuff. I come back home in like the last, you know, 7 minutes of the game. Like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
It's like he's actually going to do this. And yeah, it was pretty memorable.
I'm sure Aaron Rodgers is playing here. I'm with you. It's hard to take any piece of it. I think the Vikings, besides Aaron Rodgers, are a better team as a whole.
I
but
get that.
Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, so.
And man, he just, no. I'm
I kind of like this under, if it wherever it gets to. If it's that
it's
high.
Gonna be, it's going
to
be 34.
It's at 46 right here.
If Rodgers doesn't play, it's like 34.
Yeah, but I think he is playing. I'd like it under even with him in there.
I'm very interested to see what this line, where it ends up if he doesn't play.
Yeah.
Because we have a technical opening line. When he comes back, they say, okay,
it's gonna
he's
get
fine.
The point. Maybe Deshaun Kizer, it'll get to the point where I'll take. If it gets to – You
what's
said
your
like
take
nine?
Number?
My take number is 7.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? With the backup quarterback?
Yeah.
Well, let's not forget that I think if Rodgers doesn't play, Adams probably doesn't play either because he's got a bad shoulder.
Yeah. So it's – I don't know. Would it be that big of a jump?
We'll see.
Man.
Yes, it will be.
It's funny, Ken, you mention that because, right, we say Rodgers is worth 7 points to the spread, which is just
a
clear factor of his impact on the game. But with that, what is he worth to the total? So your point being, if he's worth 7 points just to the side, I think you're right. If he's out, then you got to play it under for sure.
Absolutely. Chargers travel to Buffalo. 7.5 is the number. 43.5 is the total. You know, these rookie quarterbacks, it's just so hard to get, you know, in front of these guys.
Kenny, you're better than Nathan Peterman, though.
Probably still, even with my bum shoulder from college.
Yes.
Even with, you know, hold on, I might throw
you
some.
You can run that Jamel Holloway option.
That's true. No, not anymore. I'm not near that fast. That was a long time ago, folks. With that being said, you know, San Diego, very talented team. I know Gordon's banged up. There's a lot of stuff going on in San Diego. A lot of people are high on them in the AFC this year. I haven't given up any hope that San Diego might still be the cream of the crop in the AFC and in the West. You know, with that being said, I'm not ready to lay any money back the Bills yet. Not quite yet, Josh. I'm just not ready to do it.
Yeah.
Even though Bosa's going to be out, you know.
Exactly. That's a huge thing. Joey Bosa. Obviously, when you're a rookie quarterback, it's nice to not have that all-pro defensive lineman, you know, running you down all day.
And telling you he's going to do it.
Exactly. And, you know, what's so bizarre with the Bills, it's like anything else. If you were going to, you know, make the guy the starter, at least the Jets, you know, did their thing, right? They got rid of Bridgewater. It's pretty clear, okay, we're going to go with Darnold from the start. Well, with the Bills, if you're going to trade A.J. McCarron, my point is, why didn't they just throw Allen in there last week? It's clear what they were going to do.
Yeah.
The Peterman thing's not surprising. So
Peterman.
You just wasted a full game. Josh Allen looked pretty good in the preseason. You know, it's a strange thing coming from Wyoming. Yeah, he's got a really strong arm. Wonder how he's really going to adjust when the lights, you know, come on and the games count. But I thought, from what I've seen, he appears capable of competing against NFL, you know, opposition. And, you know, they got him in there. So, yeah, we know how this goes in Buffalo. It'd be better if it was in the snow in December.
I agree with
then
that.
Then you'd love those points.
Yep.
But, yeah, it's clear and warm in Buffalo still. Having said that, yeah, can't do – I would only be on the underdog.
John, I'm going to throw this up to you right now. Last week, San Diego had the most
– Los Angeles.
Excuse me. The Chargers, yes. The Chargers had the most offensive yards last week. 500.
They're the Superchargers.
541. Buffalo – had the least,
yes.
153.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's almost a 400-yard difference in yardage.
Yeah.
Well, they have a Hall of Fame quarterback, Josh, Phillip Rivers, right?
Right. Well, borderline.
No.
A veteran.
everybody knows that I love the Chargers, but I'm not laying 7.5 on the road here. They're far superior.
East Coast,
this
West
is still
Coast,
a Bills team that
West Coast, East
that
Coast?
Made the playoffs last year. There's mm-hmm. still a lot of quality in that locker room. I'm not going across country, even with the Superchargers, wherever they're from, somewhere in Southern California, and laying 7.5 points. I'm not going
to
do it.
Everybody knows though, I like to make $50 six teamers favorite and over,
yes.
and they're crapshoots. But
yes.
but it will I will have the Chargers in this rotation trying to capture a parlay for the angle bet.
Yes.
For the angle bet. For me to take $500 out of my pocket and say I'm going to back the Chargers,
yeah.
I'm with you, John. But I will play Chargers and over the 43.5 in this game because it stays
it
under the 43.
Me. It won't shock
no.
me. But
so that's my angle
I'm not
play
in a big hurry to lay points at Buffalo right. with the Chargers.
All right, Texans, another team traveling. Texans going to Tennessee. No line out yet. Actually, it may have came out. Nick did not use a line on the board. It looks like it has came out. 3 and 43.5. I guess they came out and said that Mariota's – I guess he's going to play. I don't know.
Yeah, what's weird, Ken, though, is they, for some reason they came out today and said that both he and Blaine Gabbert, the backup, would see time. It's like, well, why? If Mariota's healthy and he's your number one guy, he should either play or he can't. So what's this thing about, oh, we're going to rotate them both and see what happens? Wasn't looking good at the end of last week. You always feel surprised with Ken toward the end of last year. Of course, the Titans are – on the upswing toward the end of the year, they snuck into the playoffs. Not only did that, beat Kansas City on the road before losing to New England. But you get in the playoffs and you win a game, it appears you're on the upward swing. Why do you fire the coach?
Yeah,
they're like, oh,
it.
I didn't want to run what we wanted to. Because I got to say, in the preseason, I still thought talent-wise, and they drafted well, they got a couple good. I mean, they got Harold Landry from Boston College. What's the other guy from Alabama? I mean, they drafted solid on the defensive end. So I thought, hey, this team's maybe turning the corner. But in the exhibition season, I thought they looked bad. Like, they took a step back. They weren't as efficient. And last week, pretty much thoroughly out in that super bizarre long game against Miami, they looked outclassed, and if Mariota can't go, then I pretty much think you have to go Texans here.
Yeah, and I just saw a slight trend. 24 of the last 36 Titans games have gone over. 5 of the last 6 Deshaun Watson starts have gone over. The last 4 of the last 5 games in Nashville between these two have gone over. So there's a slight lean towards the over as far as that goes. I just think that the talent level with Mariota being a question mark. The Texans, I like the Texans here. This is a battle of the Oilers, and I know both of them are the Oilers, and I hate them both. But I like the Texans in this game.
All right, John likes the Texans. We got about how long we got here? We got about 10 more seconds. We have to go off the traffic,
Oilers.
So we're going to hold off on that. When we come back, we're going to queue up the Steelers and the Chiefs because I really got to figure out what John likes about this. So we'll be back after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM. Welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline, John the Hawk Stevens, and Tim from Oregon. Tim from Oregon. I love it. Steelers at home, John. Chiefs.
Steelers.
4 and 52.5.
Yeah.
I'm just going to lob you up a slow pitch softball and just see what you can do with it.
Well, you know the Steelers own the Chiefs. They beat them like 18-16 every time they play in Kansas City, and they destroy them every time they go to Pittsburgh. But I think this is a different animal right now. These early season Chiefs teams are always
good,
tough to play.
Yeah.
You have a great bet. Who gave you the tip on the Mahomes 40-1 to lead the league in passing?
We were talking about it, and I can't remember. I think it might have been Jesse James and Amadeus. And I'm pretty sure it was him because he was texting. And what he did is kind of he opened up my thought process. So I go, wow, they did let Alex Smith go. They have Tyreek Hill. They went out and got Sammy Watkins. I'm not a big Sammy Watkins fan. But, I just say, man, they really must see something. Then I started doing a little research, and they said that he might have the strongest arm in the entire NFL.
Yeah.
And then what's he do? Week one throws, he throws for like 280, I think, in week one. But a little dump off pass strike to Hill gone.
Yeah, and it's the weapons there. It's a rough matchup for the Steelers. They have to get to the quarterback, which they did. They had 7 sacks last week,
wow.
4 of them by T.J. Watt himself.
Wow.
So I mean that's strong. The secondary was playing well. They it was 6 turnovers in the rain. I've never been so happy to tie the clowns in my life. But I think this is a tough matchup in this point for the Steelers. Laying 4.5, I'm not about that at all. I think this is a close, hard-fought game. I don't believe in the Steelers yet. Big Ben is banged up. James Conner played great in Le'Veon Bell's stead, besides his fumble, which pretty much put the Browns back in the game. But I'm not in a big hurry to lay over a field goal with the Steelers.
It's tough because you're right. Like, and I'm still... You're taking that wait-and-see approach, right, with Mahomes.
Hold on, 53.5? That's too much.
with all these other first-year quarterbacks. Like, of course, he looked good last week, but then again, like, one, the Chiefs kind of owned the Chargers, right? And I didn't expect their defense to be all that great. So, still, we'll see if that stands the test of time. I was a little bummed out. Actually, I had a nice parlay last week, all money lines, John, with the Steelers on it. And it's kind of funny, right, because obviously a push is a better than a loss. But the parlay won, but, of course, that took away what would have been some real nice added payouts. And I was just, you know, ended up being grateful that it turned into a defeat. But when they missed a field goal in overtime to win it, I'm thinking, man, this isn't maybe just isn't their day. But in this specific matchup, you mentioned the Steelers went in there last year and ended that Chiefs undefeated run,
yes,
where it was
did.
Like 6-0 or whatever. Went in there and put it on them. They do kind of own this series, and it's just a tough number to crack. I think I'd probably only play Pittsburgh.
And Eric Berry is out. The
safety.
The Chiefs pass defense isn't great with Eric Berry. Without him, it's deplorable. So I could see some fireworks out of the Steelers here. I know I'm completely contradicting what I just said. I like it under, and I like the Chiefs. But there is that angle where you can see the Steelers breaking out here, but I just don't see it quite yet.
So, John, you could be a beat writer for the Steelers because you know as much as anybody in this world about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Real quick, 10 seconds, Bell.
Yeah, one of my favorite players in my life. I hope he never plays another down with the Steelers.
Wow. Jets at home versus the Dolphins. Jets laying 2.5 in week 2, guys.
How about that?
Jets laying 2, coming off a
big
win.
They look fantastic.
They beat him down. Darnold.
Beat him down.
How does he come back from a pick six on his first pass to just lighting this team up?
Yeah. I mean, that's unbelievable. I was still in the office at the time, not watching the game, and I just, you get a bunch of texts, oh, a great start to your career. So I was thinking that the Lions were going to roll there, and then I see the score afterwards, and they just, on all three sides of the ball, the special teams look good, the defense look good, the offense look really good, and the Jets, we expected them to play good defense, but everything else, man, I didn't expect that. It's a little ambitious, I think, at this point, to be laying 2.5 to, I think, a better team in the Dolphins. But, man, I don't know. I'm going to take a wait-and-see approach with them right now.
Yeah, you know what's funny about last week's game? We were talking when Mark Vespi was here, and he was stunned. We were talking about that Monday night game. And he couldn't believe that, like, on that, where I was like, yeah, I'd probably play the Lions or nothing. He goes, well, you never lay points and a touchdown. What are you thinking? And he's right, nor in terms of my normal tendencies. But you know why I can't? I just couldn't get behind the Sam Darnold thing. I'm like, I don't think the guy is really good.
I wasn't impressed with him at USC.
Right. I thought he was totally overrated at USC. And I said, I guarantee you, if Josh McCown was in the game and they were getting +7, like, I'd be all over the Jets for sure. You know how solid the Jets were last year, especially in an underdog role. Like, I would take them there. I said, but I just can't trust the Darnold thing. When the first play of the game happened, I'm like, that's why.
Yeah.
This is going to get out of hand. So I actually had the Lions on a teaser last week. Of course, that didn't work out either. It was -1. And to me, it's a little bit of a smoke screen just in the sense that it's looking like the Lions are going to be completely terrible. I want to see Sam Darnold go up against a legit good defense. The Dolphins don't necessarily qualify. But when he starts facing good teams, I'm like, we'll see, a few years down the road if whether he is, the next solid quarterback or if he's the next Mark Sanchez. I think the latter is more likely. To me, Dolphins are the play on this one, though. I can't, as you mentioned right now, if the Jets go from that touchdown underdog to suddenly laying basically a field goal against a divisional opponent, who I do think overall, personnel-wise, better, Dolphins is the play.
You want a trend, Ken?
Yeah.
There are two conflicting trends. 2017, last 8 games, Dolphins 1-7 against the line on the road. The last 9 games at home, Jets 7-1-1 against the spread. So
wow.
Completely conflicting.
Play the Jets.
Play the Jets.
Eagles traveling to Tampa Bay to play the Bucs. 3.5 is the number. Whatever they're calling him.
Fitzmagic.
Fitzmagic. Let's just not forget, guys, once you rattle him, he tends to go away. I think the Philadelphia is going to be able to get after him. I think the true Fitzpatrick is going to show up this week.
Probably, Ken. It strikes me so odd, though, when the lines were announced. That one really stood out to me. It was similarly to last week's Eagles-Falcons game, where really defending Super Bowl champion, they get no respect. They go from a 4.5-point favorite to a pick'em. And, Atlanta actually went off the board at -1 at a lot of books. A home underdog, in the first game after you won the championship. And they haven't lost any personnel. They've probably gotten better. Strikes me as the same here, right? Buccaneers were the biggest underdog on the board last week, won outright at New Orleans. And now you see just this 3-point spread. The first reaction I had was, the Eagles are being disrespected again. But it also feels like the whole world feels that way. So now I'm wondering, who's jumping in on the Bucs +3? It just makes you wonder, if it's the wrong side after all. I really want to play Philadelphia, and this confuses me because I'm still surprised it's not like 4.5.
I am too a little bit, and that's a lot of respect for the Buccaneers here. Eagles, a couple extra days to prepare right here, get healthy, go on the road. I like the Eagles.
Yeah, I kind of tend to lean towards the Eagles too. Saints at home versus the Browns, 8.5 is the number. You know, the Saints played okay on offense.
They did.
You know, and then you have the Browns. I mean,
it's a confident, talented team, the Browns.
It is, but this is not a confident, talented spot for the Browns, in my opinion. I mean, the Saints just absolutely got – that defense got embarrassed. That defense played really well at the end of last year, had most everybody coming back this year, and everybody kind of expected them to take the next step defensively. Things didn't work out all, you know, the way they wanted to in week one. I think you get a good Saints defense. I still think that the Saints are going to be able to score. I don't think the Browns are going to be able to keep up in scoring, Josh.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the angle right there, and if – one of those things where if you just rolled this back to last week, if this was the opening game, I feel like
13.
You're probably getting at least a field goal of value, right? If not 13, 12 and a half right there. And so they say, oh, yeah, the Browns actually seem pretty legit. The Saints struggled. It didn't kind of make that adjustment. But, yeah, do they have enough firepower to stick in there and stay within the 10-point margin? I really don't think so either. I think this is sort of, like you mentioned, Ken, I believe the remedy for the get-right game for the Saints. And the Browns might be able to do a little something, but I think the Saints pull away.
You know, one of the knocks on the Browns is the quarterback, Taylor. You know, he's still not a good quarterback. He's a little bit better than Baker Mayfield right now. I don't think they wanted to. John, you made the comment that you did not think you actually – I don't know if that was true or correct or not, but you said that there's no way they're going to start Baker Mayfield in week one on the road in Pittsburgh, and that didn't happen.
Well, I mean, they were in Cleveland, but
excuse me. Week one versus the Steelers.
Acuna, right. Triple. But, no, that's exactly it. It's the playmaking ability of Tyrod, is not up to the level of matching the Saints at home.
Yes.
It's interesting to see how they would respond here, because a tie against the Steelers is a win.
Yes.
No matter how you look at it. You come back from 14 points against your big brother and tie the game. How's Boswell missing 42-year-old? I can't get over that. But you're right. They can't keep up with the Saints.
No, absolutely not.
They cannot keep up with the Saints.
They're going to get boat race this week. Rams at home versus the Cardinals, 13.5, 45.5. Rams, they look good last week.
Rams winning the Super Bowl.
They very well. You've been making that prediction, John. Yes. No doubt about it. I mean, they played close for a little while, but man, I tell you what, I love their play calling. They do not try.
Sean McVay's awesome.
McVay does not try to slow down the ball. He goes if he knows you can't stop something, he's going to continue to go to it. They threw the ball. They continue. They're still throwing the ball against the Raiders.
Yeah,
still.
It's awesome. This is definitely beyond a teaser. I'm going to probably lay it straight up as well. I just love the Rams. Until I'm proved otherwise, Josh, I'm riding the Rams.
Yeah, it's a tough one because it's, to me, two touchdown spread. I'm always trying to talk myself into the underdog. As such, I can't really see it with the Cardinals. Yeah, I don't think they'll score enough.
No.
I don't think they'll be able to move the ball enough. And you're right, it could be like 28-6.
Why isn't this 10?
Yeah.
Who was it? Didn't Donald come out and say, or the lineman for the Rams?
Aaron Donald
came out and goes, oh, I love hitting Bradford. And they told Bradford that. You know what his response was?
Uh-uh.
Great. So
that's
with
great.
That being said.
Yeah, this is big for Josh Rosen because.
Okay, consider it Bradford's last game.
This is last stand for Bradford. He's played one game. That's about the.
That's
about
his yearly average. Yeah, he was out last year's first game.
I read that article because the beat writer for the Cardinals said, oh, did you hear what he said? He said he likes hitting you. He goes, oh, great.
What do you put the over-under on Sam Bradford starts this season?
5.5.
I take that under. I'll take that under right now.
Yeah, that's true, especially with this game on deck.
Yep.
San Francisco at home versus the Lions. Niners lane 6.5. Totals 47.5. You know, the Niners played okay last week. You know,
I agree.
And they still don't have their wide receiver. Goodwin's out again, and McKinnick's out. So theoretically, other than Garoppolo, that their two best offensive weapons are not playing.
I agree, Ken. They weren't bad at all. Like, they were right in there. I was a little bummed out. Well, I took the Niners on a teaser. That was fine. I also took them, straight up with the 6.5 points because it felt like the whole world was on the Vikings. I feel like if you had Minnesota last week, you kind of got lucky. And the Niners did some stuff. The Vikings had you know, their usual solid defense, but Niners, what, fumbled inside the 1 yard line? I mean, that's literally, you're taking 7 points off the board. You know, they had a chance late. You know, their last drive of the game ends in an interception, and Garoppolo ended up with three of them. The Vikings get all those turnovers were basically the difference, but I thought, you know, the Niners had their share of defensive stops, and they more or less moved the ball pretty competently, so it looks like they are improved. But, Ken, what do you think? Is this an overreaction from Detroit looking so bad? Can you go from that to laying basically a touchdown against Detroit? I'm not sure, but, you know, it comes right down to it, I'd probably play the Niners.
Yeah, coming back home, they still looked all right. I watched most of that game. The Lions, could they possibly be as bad as they look?
It appears, you know, because I did a lot of research. I said every team in the preseason for Sportsline, you know, they asked me to go in and do all these season win totals. And what was funny is they basically changed nothing, the Lions, except their coach. And they had the worst, one of the worst defenses in the league last year. Like 28th or worse in just about every category. They go, well, I guess we'll, you know, remedy that by hiring a defensive guy, Matt Patricia. He comes over there. But it's pretty clear how disorganized and unprepared they looked on all ends. On the offensive side, they addressed the running game with LeGarrette Blount drafting Kerryon Johnson. All right, so maybe you tried to improve your weakness there. But defense is like pretty much all the same guys, and they were terrible. And look what the Jets did to them.
Yeah.
I mean, and so with that, it's looking like, you know, pretty poor personnel, perhaps a bad coaching hire. And, yeah, they could end up having a pretty dismal year.
Yeah. I'm no fan of Matt Patricia, so I don't have much trust in him. Give me the Niners.
Yeah, I would only have the home team here. I just until Detroit can show
this will
me
definitely they, be on my teaser.
Until Detroit can show me they can play a little defense or a little offense, I have no my money's not going on me because Stafford looked just as bad as the defense looked last week.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That being said, I set up for our last commercial break. This is William Hill Sports Show coming to you live from the Club Calneva on ESPN 94.5 FM. Welcome back, sports fans. Make sure you like the show us on our Facebook page at Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping. You know, we're going to post our picks this week. I know we forgot to last week, and I apologize to the listeners because I got blown up on Twitter and all kinds of stuff about us not posting our selections. I'll get them out this week. I happened to be in Nashville last week. I thought I posted them. Did I not? Nah, probably not.
You were in no mind to post anything.
And, Ken, I'll take ownership of I didn't announce them on the air. Well, you said you were going to text me picks, which you didn't, but then I think – you know, I didn't even take the pulse of anyone here. Like, we didn't give out any picks on the air. I said look for them on the website, and then we didn't do anything there either. We whiffed all the way around.
And Kenny did not go out on Friday night, for the record.
All right, Patriots traveling to Jacksonville. Patriots laying 1.5 on the road. So Jacksonville, you know, a rematch. Look at this game, guys. 45.5 is the total. 1.5. Fournette's not going to play. Looks like he's going to be out. It's going to be a go for T.J. Yeldon. I'm not so sure if that's not a bad thing.
It's fine.
It is. I think a little bit more speed in the backfield for them. Interesting game, man. There's some great games this early in the year. Josh,
yeah.
What do you think about this Jacksonville game?
Right. Here's one of the things, Ken. It actually opened up Patriots -2, and it's since been, you know, bet down to a pick 'em. And I think the spread and subsequent move tell the story of it. Like, I have no doubt. As is often the case, right, New England's going to end up being, you know, the public side, all the parlays and stuff. They're going to jump in there and think, hey, how cool is it to take the Patriots without laying any points? And that's because I think the Jaguars win, and perhaps decisively. I just think it's a letdown spot completely. New England sort of squeaked by, you know, last week. I feel like, you know, personnel-wise, they're still, you know, kind of coming together. Jacksonville, I don't know why people are so down on them this year. When again, they didn't get worse. They returned all their starters, and everyone say, "Oh, one hit wonder." You know, their season win total was like the 9.5 or something. And but yeah, it's a widely spread belief that yeah, they just kind of, you know, had one good year. They're going to fade back. I still think they're on the upswing. I think a lot of it has to do with the re-signing of Bortles to a deal. But it's one of those things, you know, game manager type. He's gotten better. But just overall, the physicality is what I'm getting at. I think the defense is going to be the key. I think they kind of actually think they're going to come up, get a lot of pressure on Brady. And you know it left a sour taste. Obviously, winning a week two game's not the same as AFC title bid for birth in the Super Bowl. But I think the Jaguars get some payback here.
Jacksonville believes that they are the elite in the AFC.
No doubt about it.
They completely believe it.
And that probably because it comes a lot from Ramsey.
They went to Pittsburgh twice and beat the hell out of them twice last year. Regardless of what the score was in the playoffs,
yeah.
They destroyed the Steelers that game. They had every chance to beat the Patriots in Foxborough to go to the Super Bowl last year as well. This is a statement game for the Jaguars, and I completely believe in that defense. Too.
And they're getting embarrassed by not getting any respect
in this line. That's exactly right. This is such a spot play for me right now. Jaguars at home, getting points, it's insane to me. I believe that the Jaguars are who they think they are. Not to go Denny Green on you, But I love the Jaguars here, and I never bet against the Patriots, ever.
Is in your Super Bowl selection the Rams in Jacksonville this year?
Yes, it is.
So I'm with you, John. I do like the under in this game a little bit, under 45.5.
Yeah.
I think Jacksonville's going to play some defense.
They're dirty, man. They are nasty on defense. And like you said, I think T.J. Yeldon, that's not a big deal.
No.
You want that every down. Well, back, but he's
for one game versus the Patriots. I think it's okay.
The way Fournette got like 100 on him in the playoff game, it seems like a big loss.
And it is, but the way that they use Yeldon as a receiver out of the backfield,
I think
he's deadly.
Yes, I agree with that. That's kind of what I'm saying, Josh.
All right.
And I think that it hurts Jacksonville through the course of a year, but in an isolated game like this, I think Yeldon between his, like John is saying, his pass catching ability and his running out of the backfield, I think they'll be just
fine. This is an emotional play, just because I think that they really do think that they're the elite.
Set the tone, baby.
And just they win this check, game, Fournette's out for sure, because I heard questionable last I heard.
I heard that he was out.
Okay.
But I could be wrong, Josh. So. Denver at home versus the Raiders, laying 5.5, or is it 5.5, 45.5. Broncos played pretty well in the first half last week, but then the second half, they didn't show up. They didn't come out of the locker room. The one trend I have on this game is the head-to-head, the favorites 10-1-1, the last 12 heads up. So that makes, from an angle play, John's probably trying to look up.
Fournette is listed, still is questionable.
Okay, I think I read something today that he's probably not going to play.
Okay, I mean, that's the case, but he's still officially listed as questionable.
So, Denver, Oakland, no interest in laying any points real quick. I need to see a little bit bigger sample size from Oakland or from the Raiders, because I think that they played pretty well in the first half last week.
Yeah, I agree with that, Kenny. I would only take the points here, too. I think Denver, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves here, but suddenly they're laying this touchdown to the Raiders.
To no matter how, in the past, Josh, no matter how good or bad these teams are, it's a competitive game.
Exactly. And Seattle, I don't think, is very great. They almost won in Denver last week. Probably should have. So lots of turnovers
valid
in that
point.
Game. And the thing about the Raiders, it's weird because I know early in the season, right, I was big on the Gruden turnaround thing, taking their win total over 8. But, of course, I know they're going to trade their best player.
Yeah.
That really affects things. And nor did I know Derek Carr was going to look like a deer in the headlights. I mean, man, it's kind of funny because when he came out of college, I wasn't big on him. I thought for a few years, geez, he's proven me wrong. He's really good. But now whether it's the injury or whatever else, a couple of those interceptions, I'm like, what were you – he literally threw it into the guy's chest twice. I mean, you're not even looking – and to me, another thing which he started doing last year, I can't stand the give-up plays. 3rd and 5, and he wings it out of bounds, just doesn't even care. He did that last year, Ken, in a game where I think the Raiders were losing whatever. It was 4th and goal, though, from the 2 they had to go for. It was like busted play. He did the same thing. He just chucked it in the stands. Like, really? You can't even give someone –
Gruden was calling those no pocket pressure throwaways. There was a couple where he's not even getting pressured in the pocket,
right,
and just throws it away.
Yeah,
So he's got that kind of nervous, presence back there. Seeing ghosts aren't there, and it's not an encouraging sign. As poorly as he's played, losing Khalil Mack, and yet they were pretty competitive against the Rams for a while. Didn't hold up, and yet having said this. Like I said, I think you're seeing the reflection here, kind of that first week overreaction. I actually am starting to warm up to the Raiders with the points.
I like the Raiders with the points here. Just the Raiders as a whole, I love John Gruden, but I think what they are paying this guy is just it's out of hand.
Gruden?
Yeah. For a head coach, I mean, Bill Belichick isn't worth that, and he's the master. So I understand you want to keep those Raider fans invested before you – drop them like a bad habit and go to Vegas, but it just seems like it's nostalgia for nostalgia's sake, and I had kind of high hopes for him. I know you can't overreact to the first game, we always say that, but I don't think they're heading in a good direction here. That being said, I think that the Broncos laying 6 in this situation is ridiculous, and I'm gonna take the Raiders here, but I don't love it. They worry me. And how you can get rid of a once-in-a-generation talent like Khalil Mack like that,
Case Keenum, three interceptions. I mean, the Broncos were no great. Yeah. They just made some plays on defense. They sacked Wilson a bunch of times, got him to fumble.
Better.
He had a few interceptions, and that made the difference. But the whole thing with Khalil Mack, to me, it's crazy. That's different than the Le'Veon Bell thing, because Max was one of those you rip up the rookie deal thing, which I'm always in favor of if you've outplayed the deal. But at the same time, the amount he was asking for, I think Gruden just wanted to make a point. Like, no one guy is going to cripple the franchise in terms of salary cap and all that. And he just said, no, we're not going to take it. The Le'Veon Bell thing, on the other hand, I just can't believe how far out of hand that's gone.
Yeah.
We have to get going. We're up against the clock here. Cowboys at home versus the Giants, 2.5. I'm looking to find a 3 in this game, and I'm going to play the Giants. I think the Giants can keep this game close.
I'm just thinking the over, Ken. You know, it's weird that given what we saw last week, I wouldn't trust it, either team, you know, on the spread. But I think we're going to see a little more offensive fireworks in this one. I'm going to play the over.
This is a comfortable spot for the Giants usually this Sunday night in Dallas.
They're usually getting more points,
they
though.
They do.
Yes, usually getting a 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They really do. So I know the Giants are going to be comfortable there. Cowboys have to make a statement here. I mean, 6 points last week. That offensive line looked absolutely putrid. This is going to be tough for me. I don't know if it gets to that 42.5 just because I don't trust that offensive line, which is crazy because it was the absolute stalwart 2 years ago in Zeke's first year.
Well, they lost the center to that rare disease,
yeah,
or whatever.
Exactly.
And neurological condition, I should say.
I don't know, man. I don't trust Dak. This is going to be really tough. I know I'm going to bet it. I have no idea what I'm going to bet.
Giants,
probably under.
Giants plus 3. Bears at home versus the Seahawks, laying 3.5. You know, Seattle played pretty good on the road last week. Now they're going to Chicago. Do you believe in Chicago or Seattle? I don't have Seattle in this spot.
Really? See, I'm the opposite, only in that I think Chicago, obviously, they blew it.
They impressed me.
Yeah, they had that 20-0 lead, blew it against the Packers, but I think they're going to be a lot better. I still think there's a little bit of that public hang-on feeling with Seattle where, like, hey, you just can't let go of how good they kind of were, and the underdog thing is real tempting. Hey, you can grab those points with them. But I think if the Bears played as well as they did last week and, you know, keep it going for 2 halves, I think they cover.
This is tough, man. I really believe in the Bears. I think Bears at home in a night game environment, they played obviously well enough to win in Green Bay.
Rodgers.
I like the Bears here. I think Trubisky's going to turn the corner here. Russell Wilson's always a wild card. He's one of the best players in football still. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't have a lot around him.
All right.
Give me the Bears.
Time to give our picks out real quick. I'm going to go with the Saints. I'm going to go with the Giants. And I'm going to go with the Nevada Wolfpack game over. And I'm going to throw this one in, too. If Aaron Rodgers does not play, the Packers won't score, so go ahead and play the Vikings. Josh?
All right, sure. I'll go ahead with the Jaguars, Saints. And talk myself into the last one. I'll go with the Raiders also.
I have the over in the Indianapolis-Washington game. I have the 49ers, and I have the Jaguars to win. I have Army to beat Hawaii just because it's 6 a.m. Hawaii time by the time that kickoff of that game. So.
And we'll probably post some college selections, too, on Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping, you know, before the night. Hey, the Progressive Jackpot is out there. Make sure that you play that. It's up to $83,000 for a $5 wager. Make sure you download the William Hill mobile app, www.wimhill.us. Make sure you back the pack. Come watch us play Oregon State tomorrow. See you next week on ESPN 94.5 FM.